Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half-price bail. I'm happy to say they couldn't make this up. So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Vendors, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Dumb People Town. We're the Sklar Brothers. He's Dan Van Kirk.
I am.
We are so thrilled to have you guys joining us. Today, we have a great guest, a friend that we've made over the past year. Mm-hmm. He is a phenomenal comedian and a hilarious physical comedian.
Yeah.
But he's really let himself go.
But he really has.
I'm really upset with how you haven't been working out in like what?
Jesus, Jamar.
Yeah. Minutes?
Introduce him, Randy.
Jamar Neighbors is with us. What's happening, my man?
Welcome to the show,
shit,
sir.
Man, chill.
Chilling.
I love Burbank, man.
Hey, what is not to love about Burbank?
It's the Compton of the Valley.
Yeah, man. It's, right? Nah, that's actually not true. You can't even smoke out here.
Like,
it's illegal.
You can't smoke pot?
Jeez.
No, just cigarettes and can't shit, right? Is that true?
In Burbank? I'm not sure, but jeez.
It's like, what is it? Like Singapore? If there's a cigarette butt on the thing, you get caned? Is that what happens?
Is that true?
I don't know. But in Singapore, if you like throw a piece of gum out, they like cane you in front of your family.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, that happened in the 90s, right?
I feel like it's still going yesterday. On. It's still okay. Going on.
That kid's still getting caned.
Oh, wow. That is harsh.
Do you guys litter?
No.
I don't litter. I don't.
Do you litter?
Stop. Do black people just litter?
I litter.
You do.
How do you litter?
I don't know, because I figure like, somebody get it.
Someone will get it.
You could have been the somebody.
Yeah,
now you got to pick up a bunch.
Do you
of stuff.
Know?
Well, now I know that that's not my job, and it's somebody else's.
Uh-huh. It's an Indian with a tear coming down the side of his face. Yeah. That's not happy.
You remember me with a teardrop?
Yeah, just a teardrop tattoo for killing the Indian in prison.
Didn't you guys see that episode of Mad Men where they're on like a they're in a park having a picnic and they go to get up to leave and John Draper just stands up, grabs the blanket they were sitting on with all the stuff, shakes it off the blanket, folds the blanket, and they walk back to the car.
Yeah, that's me.
So Jamar is living in 1960s in the ad world.
This is like pre-anything that's ever happened to the environment.
Yeah, like chicken bones and all that shit.
Well, chicken
that's,
bones.
That's fine.
That's biodegradable.
But it's the way I do it.
How do you do it? Throw it at people?
You look someone in the eye and then throw it.
Just toss it like a mic drop.
Stone cold, straight in someone's eye.
You say drop the chicken like it's a mic?
Drop it like it's a mic. It's like, I just did it. I just killed this. Out. Kill it. Drop
and
it.
And you're out. Well, so we got a chance to meet you through this. I'll say this is the gift that has kept giving for us.
The roast battle.
Our connection with the roast battle, man.
We get
a chance to like judge these things, and we meet all these young comedians.
You guys are brilliant on there, by the fucking way.
Thank you.
All you guys are riffs.
So this is my favorite thing. So I'm going to set it up for people who don't really, who maybe are listening to this podcast and don't know what the roast battle is. It initially started, as I understand, as two guys who are up-and-coming comedians who worked at the Comedy Store had beef with each other, right? Or they were young comedians had beef with each other, and they wanted to settle. They went out into the parking lot to literally settle this thing.
Yeah.
People gathered around to make sure no one really hurt themselves. And then they just started
ripping
the pre-fight ripping on each other, but it was funny.
Yeah.
People were laughing. Were you there that night when it all started?
I was. I didn't see that happen, but I saw the actual battle.
Did they take it upstairs and said, let's do this upstairs?
Yeah. Everybody start going upstairs and shit like that. And I was like, I went up there and I was like, oh, what's going on or whatever. Uh-huh. And these guys just start ripping. It was Kenny Lyon and Josh Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And they were ripping on each other. And every time they would do it, say something about each other, I would get up and I would just start like just being stupid because it was nothing to be taken serious and everything. And
would do a physical bit.
Yeah. I would get up and like maybe like shake my ass or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And then Willie Hunter would be on the other side of the room, like just doing something stupid.
Uh-huh.
And then Jeremiah Watkins. And then that's how the wave came together.
So the all Negro wave, which only includes really one full black man.
Yeah.
Which I love. One white guy, a mixed race guy, and you.
Mm-hmm.
Is to me, I will say this, is the thing that appealed the most to us. We come from like an alternative comedy background. So for us to come into there were a bunch of things that appealed to us. Brian Moses, who hosts it. So it's two people have beef with each other. They call each other out wherever, on Twitter, Facebook, in person. They say, I want to battle you. So, okay, we'll schedule it in a couple of weeks. You do your research on the person. Write as many jokes as you can about that person. It's got to be creative. You can't steal material. Mm-hmm. It can't be like Yo Mama
Street jokes. Yeah.
Street jokes. You got to deliver it. And then you do it in front of an audience, and the audience decides who beat the person in the battle. But there's this wave of the three of you guys, or four, really, if you count Haiti when he's in there. You guys get up after jokes and just... It could be the most non-sequitur thing. It was so alternative. I just remember someone told a joke, and for no reason whatsoever, you got up there, sat in a chair, and Jeremiah Watkins rubbed cocoa butter into your feet.
Yeah.
It was like, almost like that joke was so good, I need to now take care of myself. You know what I'm saying?
An online fan said it the best, like, what the wave is. He says, you guys ever used to play Mortal Kombat?
Heck yeah.
Yes.
You know, whoopsie! He said the wave is like the toasty for a good joke.
Yeah.
Yes. You kind of, if you...
Punctuates.
If you bring... Okay, now, if you're a battler, if you're a roaster... And you bring the wave out of their seats to then want to do something, like...
That means you
scored.
Gay
comedian nails someone. Just nails someone, and then you guys go out there and literally perform a gay wedding.
Yeah, maybe a gay wedding, or maybe I'm drinking something out of somebody's... It could literally be anything.
It was... you guys do such a great job. It's so funny and offbeat, and like that really roped us in. We're like, okay, this isn't just a snap show. This isn't just... It's not like a big dick contest.
This actually is a circus
that is so funny. And then when you see it live, obviously we couldn't do it on Comedy Central because you have to clear all that music. But Coach T, the DJ in the back, is so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's making jokes with what he plays based off of things that are happening. He's so fast.
He's so fast.
He's unbelievable. He's almost like an improv comedian. But he's got to access it faster than someone can even access words.
It's insane how fast he did. He did my album, the America's Nigga One, 3Ks,
which was going to be the title of ours. I can't believe you took that, man. And should check with us.
Yeah, Coach T is freaking brilliant, and with the fingers and everything. Brian Moses is fucking the perfect host.
Perfect host, and he has really grown as like a host. Like I saw him on the doing it, you know, for Comedy Central and live, and he is amazing at delivering material in a casual way, yet at the same time, joke.
I like him because it's almost like he has no horse in the race. It's like, hey, man, look.
I'm not rooting for anyone. I'm just like, I want to see a good fight.
But what's great about it is he isn't rooting for anyone. Like, if there's like a racist white dude and a black dude, uh-huh. and the racist white dude had better jokes, he's going to give it to him.
Yeah.
And he's not going to, like, as a black man, he will be like, can't argue with it. Fair is fair.
And he doesn't take a day. He doesn't take a week off. Like, no. I can't think of a day.
I'm just so happy that we got a chance to that. So for us, when we come in and judge that thing, one of my favorite things is to say a joke that gets, because we're sitting up on the side.
Above
in
the belly room, you guys.
Above, just literally right up above where the wave sits. So if we tell a joke that gets you guys to stand up and give us five in the back, I'm like, that was good. That was a good one. So
we earned it.
We're kind of doing it for them, but we're kind of doing it for you guys.
The point is to bring the wave out. You know, like
you bring the wave out. And by the way, if we can get a joke that brings the wave out, that is even, then you've really scored a direct hit. Yeah. Well, it's just amazing, and I love how it's caught on and all that stuff. I mean, it is crazy. Like, you guys got some shit on the internet. Just the web.
From the TV show.
Were you surprised by that?
Like...
I mean,
what was it?
What were people saying? I didn't even read the neg.
Just shit like those three guys are annoying. Mm.
Hey, that's a well-crafted joke.
So well-crafted.
I don't get the point of the wave. That's
self-explanatory. Then,
yeah,
you're saying I don't get the point. That does not speak to its quality.
That just means you don't get it.
That
you're not advanced enough to understand it.
That's the thing. Is like people try and people try and like put meaning to everything. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, hey man, when they do a good joke, we come out. That's the show.
That's it.
It's almost like the Gong Show.
Right.
It's like,
yeah. Oh, I mean, there are elements of the Gong Show that, again, Jay and I loved the Gong Show. Loved how much fun was had in the Gong Show. So like Gene Gene the Dancing Machine would come on and just people would start throwing shit at him. Just tons of stuff being thrown at him. I'm like, they're cracking up. The judges are having fun. And they're laughing and just there's all these things going on. I'm like, that's what this show is, and that's why it's fun. And you guys, in my opinion, really make it fun. But yeah. I'm just glad that we are a part of that world.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are a part of it.
And have had a chance to meet you. And now we're sitting here with you on this podcast, which, again, there's like a stupidity to
what these stories bring out.
What these stories bring out in people. And that's why we felt like you'd be perfect for this. So let's jump into a story.
Because you know right how away. To rip it and dissect it.
Let's do it. This was sent in by Pat Dukes at CW2. Twitch.
So he works for the CW.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
CW2 Twitch sounds like a guy who wants to get into producing rap albums, but he's just enough. Like...
CW Twitch. His
issues and his facial tics won't allow it.
Like he's like a tweaker or something.
And his name's already Pat Dukes, which is...
This is the guy.
Name's
by the
cool
way,
enough.
This is just
Pat
the
Dukes?
Guy who sent the story in. This is not part of the story. This is just the guy
if
who sent
If your name
it.
Is Pat Dukes... How much of your life is just going by your last name?
Dukes.
What's up, bro?
Guess who showed up to brunch? Dukes.
Dukes. Dukes.
No, Dukes just <funny. laughs>
Oh, no. He's like, no, please do not call
you
me.
You can also, you can almost hear the basketball clap on like playing a game. Dukes. Dukes.
Right here. I'm wide open, Dukes.
All right. Next time you're trying to convince a newly goth 17-year-old not to get their ears gauged. You guys know what gauges are?
No. Like the lobes?
Yeah. The big...
Get the
like,
gigantic tribal...
Just a hole.
Just a hole.
No,
why do
like,
people do that?
But I think they... Out more
right, so they...
More.
So you put a giant...
You put a small thing
small.
In, and then it gets bigger and then bigger, and you keep
you
stretching
I mean, I've seen people with, like, hoops. I mean, just, like, huge
gigantic.
Gauges.
How elastic or, like...
Yeah, your ears are pretty elastic.
Oh, you can really stretch
it. You can train it to be...
And then sometimes people, once they're done with that life, they then have to have it surgically cut and then sewed back up to just kind of be somewhat similar as to
a
what
regular
their ear.
Ear.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of what you could put between it that would be
obviously
helpful
your
in
headphones.
Any way. I guess it. Yeah, I guess you rest your headphones in between.
In your earlobes.
A donut.
Yeah.
Save just that shit for later.
That's right. Where did I? It was touching your chest. Where did I? Oh, it's up there.
It's my afternoon donut. It's in my ear.
Exactly. And next time you're trying to convince a newly goth 17-year-old not to get their ears gauged, why not tell them the tale of Ashley Glaw?
Mm-hmm.
A Portland resident.
Of course.
Ear gauges that got what stuck in them. I'm going to give you guys each an opportunity to guess. What did she get stuck in?
My first thought was a penis, but I know that's not right. I know that's not right. What did
Dick
she get
in
stuck
ear.
in her?
If you had to imagine what this 17-year-old goth girl could have gotten stuck in her ears.
Hubcap?
A hubcap?
Oh, you said like a spinning rim?
Like, dubs.
And then some young
a
black...
A light up spinning rim?
And then some young black guy walks by her and be at the like, the spinners are played out.
Yeah.
We did that. I'm not mad that you did that. I'm just telling you wrong thing.
Yeah. Too late. We did it already.
2005, bitch. Like,
a hundred spoke rim. That's my guess.
All right.
Wow. What is it?
She recently became internet famous for getting her pet python lodged in her earlobe.
Ooh.
Her snake crawled
She's
through
She's just a world
earlobe.
Of bad decisions.
Yeah. Apparently, Glaw and her pet snake, Bart, were just hanging out. Ironic
Bart.
Name, so funny. As snakes and humans do, when Bart slithered
Hashtag
his
white
way
people problems. You know
through the hole in her ear.
Mm-hmm.
She then put it on social media. I'm going to show you guys this picture of this girl.
God. Get ready, Jamar.
So the snake basically banged her ear.
Yeah.
With
you
his
got,
body.
Your ear got snake banged.
Look at this. This girl and the snake.
I can't see it.
Because of the size that it gets, cannot, it's stuck in there.
Ooh.
Jamar's up, obviously, to make sure he gets a good look.
What?
Look at that.
Oh, and it's stuck in there?
Yes. You know what my favorite part is? Across her collarbones, she has the words, "This too shall pass."
I don't think so.
Literally tattooed.
Not sure.
This is her own Instagram post. She wrote, "By far one of the craziest life moments. Went to the emergency room."
If this is your daughter, how do you get her to clean up her room? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you tell
how
her.
How do you say
you're
going to cut that snake out?
Shit.
I mean, like, how do you get her to do anything?
Now?
She's posting that picture. I don't know.
My mom.
Go ahead.
My mama would have whooped me with another snake.
She would have gone to the pet store,
to Petco.
Bought another snake, Petco, to get another snake, and then beaten you with that snake. It is one of those moments where, as a parent, you're just like, dummy.
Yeah.
You did this.
Yeah.
You did this, dummy.
She says the snake decided to get hashtag her. Hashtag Python, hashtag snake, I can talk, decided to hashtag get stuck in my hashtag gauged earlobe as though it's his fault.
Yeah. By the way, and also when you hashtag something, it's something that you're like, I'm tapping into something larger that other people are tweeting
missing.
About. You're the only one that is hashtag having this shit happen.
She has
to you.
12 more hashtags in the. People who over hashtag.
I hate internet talk.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, because it's like, I want to see like the work that like kids are doing, like as well, like when they write like essays and all that mm-hmm. shit. Because
yeah.
it's like, does that affect the way you write?
I bet you it does.
I'm sure it does. Like, I'm sure people in essays are putting hashtag
or spelling the word you with just you. The letter
remember
U.
We were growing up and we learned that you could do with W
slash. Yeah.
But
yeah,
now it's just W. Somebody will just write W in a text and be like, that's with. Yeah. So I bet that's even happening, like, in
the cut. The
in my, I bet
in
people are like, in summation, I believe that we should no longer be doing this, IMO. Like, I bet you students are writing, like, in my opinion.
Opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I got a snake that bitch can put in her ear.
What?
Hashtag silly snake. Hashtag gay cheers. Hashtag gauges. Hashtag snake lover.
Hashtag on microwave.
Hashtag uncircumcised.
Then she wrote, hashtag snakes like gauged ears.
They
hashtag
don't,
hashtag what the fuck. Hashtag never heard of. Hashtag never thought of. Hashtag wow. Hashtag OMG.
Wait, how do you know what snakes like?
You don't know.
Like, how does anyone... I'm talking about even someone who spends their life studying snakes, how do you know what is the only thing a snake likes
to
is
eat?
It's food.
No, they say that they like holes, so they like going into dark places a hole. And depending on the way she was sitting, the snake just
you don't
thought,
know that
oh,
they
a,
go into the hole for a reason. We don't know that they like it.
She goes, "That's fair. Yeah, we. It's hard getting the.
We know that they do
like
it, but how do we know that a snake has the ability to like or dislike something? Nobody knows.
Probably in the eyes.
Well, if a snake sees a mouse and it eats it, does it like the mouse? Does it like to eat mice?
Yes. No, when we know it likes to be fed.
I think it needs to eat. It
am I the only one that's not high?
No.
What do animals like, man? How do we know what they like?
I mean, just look at it, man.
Yeah.
Remember we saw
it's going to tell you.
Snake v. mouse.
Oh, shit. This was crazy.
This is back in the 90s when they like had videos. Like,
sure.
The videos that you could order that were like animals
fighting each other.
Like, so like crazy shot, like Discovery Channel.
The internet now.
They did snake v. mice. Snake v. mouse.
I bet you can find it on YouTube.
What's the mouse?
Versus. Snake versus mouse.
Snake versus mouse. So in a battle, and the mouse, and you're like, this mouse is going to get
done.
Tore up. A snake eats mice, period. This is done. And the mouse
won.
And then like
and howled, then
howled
at, the moon.
At the moon. They got a shot. Like
what?
But I don't know how they got this.
Was
they
it
got
a mouse or a rat?
It was a mouse.
Mouse.
They got a low angle shot of this field mouse howling at the moon.
Really?
To me, that's just
that's
great.
Planet Earth,
great fucking
shit.
Camera work.
You know, like little house cats can beat up like a. I saw a house cat fight a cobra. Like,
yeah.
It's like 2 days ago. Like,
and just
where?
On YouTube.
Oh.
I love watching animal fights.
Yeah. For a second, I had a dream in my life that you were walking through some place in Los Angeles and was like,
yeah, man, I was just...
Is that a cobra? Is that fighting a tabby cat?
Tabby cat. She wrote... I think her name was
Ashley. Happening at a coffee shop? What is
happening? She wrote...
Coffee bean and tea leaf.
It is. Ashley wrote, current situation. I was holding my hashtag snake. I'm done with these hashtags.
Stop.
And his dumb ass saw a hole, which just so happened to be my fucking earlobe, and thought it would be a bright idea to attempt to make it through. None of this is on her, guys.
No.
It's all on this dumbass snake,
yeah,
in her opinion.
Yeah, I just put him on my shoulder, and then he saw this hole.
It all happened so fast that before I even knew what was going on, it was already too late. Now, I'm sitting here in the emergency room with Bart stuck in my fucking ear.
Nobody cares about you. Like, why is she putting this out into the world?
Jamar.
She could have also, like, some snakes, like, holes and shit. Like, what if she was a person who slept with her mouth open? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could have been, like, way worse.
Yes.
Could you imagine? At least
you can talk.
Could you imagine?
A snake going down in her body.
You're done. You're done if that happens.
I don't know.
Or you like wake up and pull it all the way out. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
that's true, man.
That's, you guys are going to make me sick.
I don't know.
Turns out he was hanging on her shoulders when Ashley thought he started attacking her head. Quote, I like froze instantly, she told CNN Fake News about the nightmare event.
Yeah.
I'm joking. It's not fake news that it's a nightmare event.
Oh, yeah.
Quote, if he forces his way through, he's going to split my earlobe. So she's trying to get the snake to stop.
I just love that this woman who wanted to gauge her ears is now concerned with taking care of her ears. You know what I'm saying? That, like, she has, like, look.
She's mutilated her ears.
And now she's like,
which she has every right to do.
I have to protect my precious earlobes.
According to
what kind of people like snakes as pets, though?
That's another thing.
That's a whole other situation.
It's a person who's like
snake person.
This is a person who has a snake as a pet who's trying to gauge her ears.
I mean, that in order to feed the snake, you gotta go get mice, and you gotta
frozen mice.
You gotta watch your snake kill another thing. Over and over and over.
That sounds pretty exciting.
I know you like that.
Would you not want to see a snake, like, eat a mouse?
Maybe once, but I don't want to own it.
I don't want to have to, like, consistently go out
and
hunt for my snake.
Yeah.
And it's like side work. You're doing work for the stamp.
Yeah, it's like fun.
I believe cats tolerate living with us. I also believe, flying in the face of our earlier conversation, that dogs do like their lives and can like living with us.
Dogs like their lives. Dogs can tell you that they like their lives.
Right.
A snake can't, I don't know.
Snake people never have their snakes where that snake wants to be. Like on the Las Vegas Strip, taking pictures of people is not where that snake wants to be.
Is supposed to be.
Right, so no snake is, if it's owned, it is not where it wants to be. At least fish are so dumb, they don't even remember. It's a new memory cycle like every 10 seconds.
Snakes definitely don't want to be around your neck. Paul F. Tompkins had a great bit years ago about how, like, your
exotic
animal owner, like, your pet doesn't want to run errands with you. Your lizard doesn't want to go to the post office.
I do want a snake skin vest.
That's fine.
Right?
That snake wants to be a vest.
Like, I'm into shit like that.
Just a snake skin vest.
No shirt underneath.
Well, yeah,
you'd be a shirt underneath.
Yeah, with a gold chain.
Mm-hmm.
With a gold chain.
Did Cedric the Entertainer wear a suit without sleeves? Did he do that?
I don't know. That should be funny as fuck.
Three-piece suit.
No and that's sleep. A guy who's hilarious, but not in the best shit. Not necessarily the guy who wants to show his arms
did
off.
Did he do that?
I think
I'm
he did.
Look it up.
Part of me thinks he did.
I fucks with him if he did that. I fucks with him, period. But if he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here. So, a little known fact. Like, Cedric the Entertainer, before I did comedy, he was the first comedian that told me that I should do comedy.
Did really? He? When? Where?
I was doing a play. I'm from out here.
Yeah.
And he sponsored a play that I was in.
Yeah.
And I was riffing at the after party and everything, uh-huh. Like on the play and shit. He was like, "You ever did comedy?"
That's pretty good.
And I was like, "Nah, but I want to." He was like, "All right, well, listen, get 5 minutes together, and I'll let you have 5 minutes in my club. I'm giving you 2 weeks." And wow. It was at the Comedy Union when he read it a while back.
I remember the Comedy Union down on La Brea, right?
Pico.
Yeah.
And I never got those 5 minutes together, but
you
I do
still
remember
haven't
that.
Gotten them.
I'm all personality now.
That's great.
Material. Yeah, I do.
But did that.
That
help push you into it? Even though you didn't have the 5 minutes within 2 weeks.
That was cool that he said,
it was cool that he spotted it in you.
Yeah.
He saw in you what it was.
Yeah, but what'd you say?
Oh, I was just going to ask, like, do you credit that as part of what did spurn you into
doing it? Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, if the king of comedy said,
I better do it.
You know,
I better step to it.
I'm in too deep.
I can't not now. I can't not.
He says, sure. So Ashley goes, if he forces away, he's going to split my earlobe. According to CNN, the snake wasn't attacking, but, quote, pythons just like hiding in holes. I know that's up for debate on this show.
That snake is, I don't know who's dumber, snake or...
Yeah, that is... By the way, pythons just like hiding in holes is the name of a porno. I know that, and I'm not
pythons
even Googling
like
it.
Hiding in holes.
Is that real?
It should be.
If it isn't,
Jamar just took his phone out.
I'm going to make one.
Ashley said she tried to get him out by herself, but couldn't. So she said the fire department had to come. The fire department was unable to remove Bart. So instead, Ashley said she went to the emergency room where doctors numbered her earlobe.
Numbed.
I read it wrong. Numbed her earlobe and lubed up Bart, but they were unable to get the snake out of the hole.
So
maybe
now
I am
what?
Describing a porno.
Yeah. Jesus. So they lubed him up. They can't get him out of the hole.
Uh-huh. So they spit on the hole.
they tried to
everything through a gas station.
Yep.
Then they tried to tell the baby, hey snake, think about your mom getting naked. Like, do whatever you can to make yourself smaller again.
Eventually, with the lube and a little help from Bart, they were able to get her out of the hole.
I thought you were
going to
say, and a little help from Jesus.
Jesus, take the snake.
Jesus, get this snake out of my ear. Uh-huh. If you know that snakes love holes, and you have holes, gigantic holes in your ear,
don't put the snake around your neck.
Do not put the snake anywhere near. She makes it seem like the snake was on the floor and then, like a Jack Russell Terrier, jumped up into her ear.
I mean, I don't know where she lives or like what her living situation is, but there. Oh, you say she had it around her neck?
Probably.
No, yeah, she said she did. I think.
Yeah, but like that.
You're saying she was maybe sleeping in bed and then the thing came down.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, how many, like, there could be so many holes
in the
house.
If you're going to sleep, put your snake away.
Yeah.
Close the lid.
Yeah. You don't, like, tell the snake, like, you hit the hay whenever you feel like it, I'm going now. Like, don't live that
life.
Yeah,
you make sure it's in.
By the way,
Bart is totally
fine, by the way. Oh, that's good. If you were in, like, an open air market in, say, Egypt or wherever, where... like cobras could exist. I don't think a basket could hold a lid on a basket could hold a cobra.
Yeah,
am I right? Those are strong snakes.
Yeah, and I don't know why they. Oh, but they must like the dark.
That's what it is.
I guess they like the dark.
Yes.
So
they stay in there because they like the dark.
But by the way, so you're saying that they like music more than they like the dark? Are we now figuring out what snakes like?
If that's
we're
all
going against.
I don't even know if that's
like.
Real.
Listen, man, I love the dark. I don't want to be out in the sun, but I gotta get up. This is my jam. This is my jam. It's my jam.
Like when you're drunk.
Shit.
When you're drunk at a wedding.
I gotta hit the dance floor. I gotta go.
When you're drunk at a wedding and your friend's telling you a story, you're like, dude, I seriously want to hear the end of this.
I really want to hear
this. But this is my song. I gotta get up.
That's my jam.
I gotta go. We will definitely continue this conversation.
I gotta go pull a hamstring. That's my jam.
Pull a hamstring.
All right, guys. One segment down. Jamar Neighbors, Dumb People Town. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's hilarious.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. I gotta say, I was super excited when I saw you in Keanu. I thought you were fantastic in that movie.
You were fantastic in that movie.
Thank you, man.
A lot of fun stuff to do, and those guys are friends of ours.
Did they know of you and said, we want to put you in this? Did you audition for it? How did that work out?
I met Jordan once at Al Madrigal's house.
Oh, nice.
And I knew Chelsea Peretti, and Chelsea Peretti... I think told Jordan, I'm surprised no one's ever put him in a movie.
Yeah.
And then she was like, you could be that guy. And then, but I auditioned and got that shit fair and square.
Well, it wasn't like a... By the way, that's not
There's no
that's,
fair
that's
and square.
Not what you just described isn't like not fair and square.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they had to have seen you and liked you.
Yeah.
To,
yeah.
You earned that rep.
People get yeah, exactly. You didn't even get that recommendation.
That happens, by the way, all the time too. People who are friends or people who know people go, hey, I got something that I think you'd be right for in this thing.
And by the way, that's the beauty of being in LA. And I say this to people all the time. Yes, you can get work in New York for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But when you're in LA
and you're out doing it.
And
a
you're
lot.
Out doing it a lot. You do. You perform a lot. People are like, oh, yeah, this guy would be great for this thing. We're trying to figure out who to put in this thing. And then, boom, there you are.
Yeah.
And you delivered. You were really funny.
Was it really fun on that set?
It was. I mean, it was exactly how you think it would be. Like, the guys are fucking brilliant. I really connected with all those motherfuckers. It was fucking, I don't know, it was just dope.
It's great.
It was
Can
dope.
I tell you that I played for my daughters, 9 and 11 years old. I played for them the Key and Peele East West, like them introducing the football players.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Javonte.
Miss Grubble.
Yeah. Dwayne Shower Handle. Awesome. This is my favorite. It's Osmotez Buckshank. Just great stuff. And then I play them a substitute teacher. And this is how much I love those guys and I love my kid. Like, love those guys so much, they made me love my kids even more than I love my kids. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, is like, okay, you be all that. I'm going to be Mr. Garvey. You be all of them. And like, she wanted me to be all the other kids in the thing. And
so she could do the sketch.
So she could do Keegan's as Mr. Garvey. And it was the fact that it inspired them to want to watch it again and then learn it and then just do it. I was like, oh my God, we used to do that shit all the time with Eddie Murphy the next day after Saturday Night Live when we're like at Sunday school with a bunch of other Jews. We're like just literally doing every single one of his lines. I was like, this is it.
That's it.
Is the substitute teacher isn't the one where he farted?
No, substitute teacher is the one where he's like, Garvey, I've been teaching in the inner city for 20 years, so don't try and mess with me.
Yeah, yeah,
like, let's take some roll now, okay?
Jake Quellen.
Jake Quellen, where are you at? She's like, Jacqueline? Oh, I see. You want to play? It's like so funny because I kept on thinking about every aspect of why that's funny. You have a substitute teacher. A substitute teacher walks into any situation and just wants to get on top of that situation.
I used to substitute teach.
Did you really?
Where? At a LA Unified school.
Holy shit. I can't imagine you as my kid's teacher. Did you just curse all the time?
I was actually like the opposite of like who I am. Like I was like really like stern and like serious.
Good.
And shit.
You need to be.
But then once like the real me start coming out, when I started being like a little silly, a little loose, mm-hmm. that's when they took over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They took over at that point. They sense it, smell it, and then you're out.
I walked out. This is how I quit that job. The kids, it was after lunch, and county food makes kids like hyper.
Yeah.
And shit, it's not good food. And so mm-hmm. they came back with like all this energy and shit. They weren't listening to me. I was trying to get them to play like improv games and all this shit.
Wow.
And they were like, and they just weren't listening. So I was at the like, you know what? Fuck this. And then it was like, what? And I was like, I'm gone. And I was like, fuck this shit. And I got my backpack or whatever. And then I walked to the bus stop because I wasn't driving.
Are you serious?
And they were like, Mr. Neighbors. And you hear a little girl talking about something. See what you did? You made him quit. Like, it's so funny because now I realize, because now I understand like what I put teachers through, like
yes,
when I was a kid.
Yes,
and I was like,
you got
oh,
her
fuck.
From the other side.
She started calling, making apologies.
Yeah,
to people.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Miss Poe, for
what I did. Terrible.
Oh, bad
day. Were you guys good in school?
We were all right.
You're good. I had
messed around and had fun.
I had one home ec teacher that in seventh grade that I hated, Mrs. Frank. She was terrible, and she, I remember on Halloween, wore like a gorilla mask, and she wore it. And that was her mask. She was a regular teacher. She wore that mask for the first, I don't know, 25 minutes of class. But then it got too hot for her to, like, speak and teach.
She was trying to be funny.
She took the mask off, and when she took it off, I screamed.
Oh, that's funny as fuck.
And she sent me to the principal. And I was like, no, you don't treat me like shit. I got comedy in my blood.
Did that shit kill?
Like, destroy.
Crush City.
I remember, and I
just, walked out.
I was in trouble, and they called our parents. Yeah, I walked out.
Man.
Someone in the background was like, see what you made him do?
No. No. See what you made him do?
Yo, no, I went there and I just remember telling our dad like what happened, and he laughed, and I was like, sorry, sometimes you gotta go for the joke.
Yep. So,
you gotta go. All right, you got another story?
Oh, all
right. Yeah, let's do one.
Let's do one.
Sent in by Bill K at Ill Bill K.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester, New Hampshire. A woman is facing charges after she injured herself with a sword.
Jesus.
She injured herself with a sword and struck an officer in the face. Manchester police were called Monday night to the home on Massabesic Street, where resident Linda Bunker told them that she was performing sword tricks earlier in the evening and accidentally hit herself in the head, causing a small cut over her eye. Jamal, get ready to get up because you're going to want to come look at this. The mugshot of this woman...
Post-cut?
Yes.
Post-slash.
Nose and forehead. She looks like whatever that bad guy's name was in Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
Remember that guy on the painting?
Yes. Yeah.
Look at this woman. She is ready to kill somebody.
Tilt it down. Tilt it down a little.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That's a woman who shouldn't own a sword.
That's a woman that shouldn't watch any kids.
She looked like...
By the way, there's more than one cut, and it...
Which means she kept going.
She kept going. I'm saying she hit herself once.
I'm good.
And
I'm good.
I can do this.
But what's the trick
Lisa,
she's
stop.
Doing with
Lisa,
it?
You have juggling? Hurt, you have cut yourself on the nose. I am finishing my routine, David.
Did you say she assaulted an officer?
Yeah,
we'll get into that,
like,
too.
Like after she did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cops after were probably called over.
Yes.
Wait, so cops are called over because she's doing sword tricks.
She's doing sword tricks and hurting herself. Also, let's not skip over Lisa Bunker.
Lisa Bunker.
To me, that name means she has to speak about herself in the third person a lot.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what Lisa Bunker is not going to do. Lisa Bunker is a self-taught swordsman.
Also,
have you ever held a sword before in your life?
The motherfuckers are heavy.
Heavy?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know how...
A rapier broadsword, depends.
Yeah.
She probably just picked it up and it hit her in the face.
Yes.
God, why are you messing with a sword? This woman should not be...
Also, indoors.
Indoors tells me this is a woman who does not... mind messing up stuff in her house.
Whoever called the cops is a snitch. who called the cops?
And normally you would say snitches get stitches, but this is a situation. It's Lisa Bunker who needs the stitches.
She stitched herself.
She did.
She stitched
herself.
51-year-old woman doing sword tricks.
She should know better. 51
doing sword tricks. How many things in life have you given up on if you're 51 doing sword tricks?
By the time you're 51, you should know your lane. Know what
understand
you do well
what
and
you
keep
can
doing
handle.
It. Oh, yeah. I make a good banana bread. Then you keep doing that. I know how to, you know, ride a bike. Great. Go ride your bike 27 miles a day.
But Mr. Neighbors, I'm going to ask you. You go to your friend's house in the living room, and they say, hang tight right there. Sit where you are. I'm going to do some sword tricks for you.
Mm-hmm. Do you
stay seated where you are?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
See, I'll watch from the kitchen. Whatever sword tricks my dumb friend is going
to... No, I'm good over here.
Let me get some distance.
I'm good over here.
Cross my legs, light up a blunt.
Let's see what this guy can do.
Let's see where life takes us.
But this seems like someone who's trying out something new. That they... Like, this isn't something you pick up.
If you are doing
50.
Sword work, you should not be improvised.
It should be a thing you've done since you were 6.
Now keep that woman's image in your head, and as I tell you the next part.
What were you gonna say, Jamar?
Oh, like she's just one of those people who just live by that, like that. It's never too late to learn. Like she's the type that she's the type that'll like go back to college and take a sword class.
51.
What are you trying to get?
I'm Lisa Bunker. Lisa Bunker is 51 years old.
And Lisa Bunker will do what Lisa Bunker wants to do.
If Lisa Bunker starts practicing with the sword right now, by the time I'm 61, I'll have 10 years of experience.
How many people around her have been like, you don't have to yell, I'm standing right next to you. Today is the first day of the rest of Lisa Bunker's life. Great, Lisa.
To do what with that skill?
Yeah, what is it?
Exactly.
Has she ever, in her nightgown...
In her nightgown?
Laid in a bed, thrown back the covers, and told somebody to get in this bunker. Why don't you come crawl inside this bunker?
Hitler wasn't the only dude who got into a bunker. Get over here.
Come on. I'm going to protect you.
Her much younger ex-husband tried to take the sword from her so she didn't injure herself anymore.
That's right. A good guy.
Well, yeah, after the third laceration to
but
somebody's
by
face,
the way, that is a brave motherfucker.
You guys have said good and brave, and I have not finished this sentence.
Okay.
What's much younger?
We're going to play a game where you guys get to try and guess how old this ex-husband is after I tell you more stuff about
him. Let's get a little more info about him.
Bunker's much younger ex-husband tried to take the sword... I said tried, and you've already called him good?
And what did brave. You say?
And brave. Okay, maybe I'll give you brave, but behind every like hero
brave.
Is a fool,
right? That's right?
If you fail, you're a fool.
That's right.
He tried to take the sword from Lisa Bunker.
And she put it in his shoulder.
So she didn't injure herself further, but ended up... cutting himself on both hands.
Oh,
he tried to grab it.
Yeah.
Mr. Neighbors, I'm so happy with you right now.
Ding, ding, ding.
He either. So we're
no,
doing
he
the
tried
grab.
To grab around it.
He or do wait, one of those, did he like, go?
The old samurai. You know,
I'm
like
clap my hand.
And then bend that shit. And then bend it.
That's like a cigar.
Is that a real move?
That's like a real Steven Seagal move. That's like a Kill Bill move.
Yeah. Steven Seagal, like two
coming
kicks
down
to the
at
face.
You. Just
two front
down.
Kicks but while you're holding the sword.
You thought, you were like, he tried to grab it.
Just
it,
try to catch
stop.
It.
Can we just? And yeah. He tries to grab the sword.
And then she
cut that shit out.
Oh, my God.
Lisa, get off Lisa Bunker.
You can't catch it.
How would you get that sword out of her hand?
Just get two couch pillows and try and put it around.
I open a bush light and I set that on the table, and knowing she's gonna have to go for one or the other.
Look, all right, Lisa.
Lisa Bunker.
I put this it. Bush light on the table.
It's all yours.
It's
if
all
you
yours
want
if you just put that sword down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's got a decision to make.
So he ends up cutting himself on both hands, which he probably then yelled at her, "What did you do?" Even though he entered this scenario. He got in the Thunderdome with
her. He was
what did you do, Lisa?
Right. Well, an officer was... So I imagine that's when the cops came, because it just jumps and says, while an officer was talking to Lisa Bunker... This is my favorite part. So imagine now the cops are here.
Yeah.
All right.
Sword has been removed from the woman's hands.
Her ex-husband. We haven't even touched on that. Why is he there? He's her ex-husband.
Yeah.
And she's doing sword tricks
for
her.
The younger guy?
Yeah. Which we haven't even guessed how old
he
is.
We haven't guessed his age.
Has it been on Valentine's? Was it on Valentine's?
It is in our hearts. In our hearts, it's on Valentine's.
She's trying to win him back with some sword tricks.
Okay. While the officer, so she's hurt herself, bleeding from her head and face.
Hurt her ex-husband.
Hurt her ex-husband, right?
Screwed.
Which is kind of on him.
Yep.
Okay. The cops are now there. While the officer was talking to Lisa Bunker, she started to demonstrate her sword tricks again, even though she was no longer holding a sword. At which point, she...
Let me show you what I was doing. Lisa Bunker is going to show you what...
No, ma'am, we do
Lisa
not
Bunker
need to
is going
to
show you what
no
you...
No one here needs to see
like
what you
this,
were doing.
And then I did it like this.
At which point...
over here.
She struck the officer in the face with her hands during the demonstration.
All right, so it wasn't like I'm going to punch you because I'm mad at you.
Yeah, but was by the way, she this like should trying make to get all, away with one?
This should make all, like, this story should fuel the Black Lives Matter story. Like, even for
I would say,
every black person
she
is
a
like,
black man.
A white woman punched an officer in the face and she's alive to tell it.
I was going to say, I think it's so funny when people actually, like hit cops.
Or even run.
Yeah. Or even just boldly, like, rebel against the fucking cops.
Resist.
This is so fucking funny. Because,
you know, she was like, I'm going to show you. Ma'am, no.
Do not,
and then
ma'am,
just,
move out of the way. I'm going to pop
smack, him. Pop right. In the face.
Cops used to give us baseball cards. Like they used to drive down, like, our street where we were playing football and shit. And they used to just hand out baseball cards and shit.
That was a
they did
that
for us, too. They did.
They
gave out football cards. Cardinal. And they were only cards that
the police
could get
give.
Through the... St. Louis Police Department. So they were like special cards. So if you had these cards,
They weren't cards you could get at like Tops or anything like that. So
that feels like something that should come back,
right?
It should.
Give kids Pokemon cards. Give what, like whatever it is.
That's how you know we getting old.
I know.
Yeah, anytime you say something should come back, you've reached it.
Pogs, man.
Pogs.
Which I
you know they should give each kid a sword.
No,
and a snake
for the ear.
No. Police said Bunker started to walk away. So she hits the cop and be like, demo's done. Walks away.
I'm sorry.
She began swearing at them. When they tried to take her into custody, she curled up on the floor and hid her hands under her body, which to me probably seemed like a foolproof idea.
Yep.
Yeah. Hands under my hands.
How are you gonna cuff me
if I can't put my hands like this and lay on my stomach, put them right here, I'm good.
Police eventually took her into custody and she was checked out by paramedics. She refused medical treatment. Lisa Bunker don't need anybody's help.
I'll heal myself.
Taken to police headquarters. Her ex-husband was medically cleared at the scene. I'm going to ask you now, before we get to the last two sentences, how old is Lisa Bunker's ex-husband? She is 51. You've seen her. She has an affinity for swords.
Can I see her face again?
Yeah.
While we play the jingle, take a look at her face.
Too much fun leaves marks in life. Living hard, you'll pay the price. Who is going to get it?
How old is Lisa Bunker's ex-husband?
Younger ex-husband. What do you think?
That guy has to be like, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking like, at what age would I
make that mistake?
Fuck with her. Probably now. shit. That guy is 29.
29 years old. Mm-hmm. Randy Sklar.
I think he's 35.
35 years old.
Randy. You said much younger, so I'm going to say he's 22.
22 years old.
Okay.
Lisa Bunker's ex-husband, 37 years old.
Oh! Randy,
13
years is a long time.
That's a chapter. That's a couple life chapters.
It's like a generation.
All right.
How old are you right now?
I'm 31.
31. So you'd have 7 more years to mess with this woman.
Once they had taken her into custody, the sword was found in Bunker's bedroom and placed into evidence. I don't know if that's where the demo originally took place.
Yeah.
Which really, that's some foreplay for getting into a bunker. Or somebody put it back in the bedroom.
Jesus.
And you saw the picture. She's cut up.
She's cut up.
That's a lot of bleeding. Facial bleeding.
Let me show you what I was doing. We do not need to see what you're doing, ma'am. Let me show you what
they
I was doing.
They should put that sword up at like a Benihana, like the local Benihana.
Oh, yeah.
Just sure. Up over the front with like a little plaque underneath it.
So they put it in like an evidence bag?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like a big ass sandwich bag.
A big ass. A gallon. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. Bunker is charged with simple assault, reckless conduct, and resisting arrest. She is scheduled to be arraigned.
And you know she's saying, this happened in my house. Why am I getting into it? I didn't do this out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's going to be an argument for her.
Shouldn't have tried to grab it.
Yeah.
But like, it's
like, your fault. If they just cut me, they wouldn't be here right now.
And on some level, that's true. Saying. Like, he did walk into the sword demo.
He did bring the cops into the discussion.
That is why he is her ex-husband.
Yes. You're dating Lisa Bunker?
Damn right.
From 51st and... That's her age and her address. You know you're getting old when
for
you're
the
like...
5100 block of Locust?
5150?
50 Locust Boulevard?
That's an old woman, and yet she should know better. That's the whole time. The whole time I'm thinking
so
51.
Should he.
He's 37.
These stories are all about people who should know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a theme. And thank God they don't, because we would never show.
These are grown-ass people.
Grown-ass people.
I wish people could have seen your physical expression that you were doing right there with your hands over your eyes.
Yeah. Your face, not just wondering why. Why?
Yeah. All right, well, let's come back. We have one more story and a special voicemail. We'll be back with more of Dumb People Town right after this with Jamar Neighbors.
Stick around, make a sound, there's more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town. I want to remind people we're going to be in Cleveland
at Hilarities, great comedy club. It's our first time doing it, March 9th through 11th. And we, by the way, thank you to everyone who came out to the Chicago shows. I know we mentioned this, but we are now just back from those shows. Dan featured for us. We shot our next 1 hour special. It's going to be on CISO in July.
Yeah, it was really great.
At Lincoln Hall, 2 sold out shows. The audiences were incredible. The shows were exactly what we wanted to do. Felt good. Material felt great. So I'm really excited to put that together and then get that up and going. But we'll be doing Cleveland, Hilarities, March 9th through 11th. And then we'll be in Portland with Dan at Helium. Excited to go back there.
Can't wait.
Around the 23rd through the 25th of March. And then in
April,
we'll be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, which is amazing. Do a live podcast, live Dumb People Town. We're going to do the ping pong tournament that we host the ping pong tournament. It's kind of like
you
Roast Battle
on
the Way.
We
commentate.
We got like 3 hours of ping pong in like a sold out theater. It is so silly, and we always interview just the losers. What happened out there, man? Do you play?
No, but I've always wondered, do you think that Serena and Venus would be good at ping pong?
Yes. Because their racket skills are just
hand-eye.
Hand-eye coordination.
Hand-eye coordination. Speed. They could hit. I mean, once they figured out how to hit it in a way that wasn't
the right amount of strength.
That's right.
So, but is it a different skill?
Oh yeah, one is way more wrist. The other is like full body, full arm. They're unbelievable. The fact that Venus Williams reached a final in Wimbledon again to me is like, it's either really bad for women's tennis and this woman could like, or she's just the greatest ever. And I don't know what it is.
Venus or Serena?
Serena is the greatest ever. But Venus was down. She was out. Yeah. I'm like, she's just focusing on fashion for a few years. And then she's like, oh yeah, now I'm back and I'm going to get into the finals of the Australian Open.
Yeah, it is crazy that she can come back and do that. Isn't it crazy that Venus was the greatest of all time and now it's my sin? But they're keeping it all in the family kind of sort of type.
How crazy was her dad?
Their dad was crazy. You got to have a crazy dad.
You're
going to be successful kids, you got to have a crazy dad.
Or no dad.
Yeah. With that anger.
Like me.
Like you.
And LeBron and Barack.
You did the LeBron commercial.
I did.
Which was so good. The LeBron Sprite commercial, what they play during the...
Yeah.
And just a quick thing, come on, say the words, LeBron.
Two fatherless niggas out here just getting it in.
Just get on.
Winning.
Dan Van Kirk is another fatherless nigga right there.
Oh, yeah. He left?
Oh, he left you.
Oh, what? Dan, sorry.
He left Dan.
When you were little. It happened when you were little.
So he met him.
He's not coming back.
He's on his way back.
No,
he's not coming back. No,
he's going to show up with Jamar's dad right here.
And LeBron's dad.
LeBron's dad, what are you doing here? He just showed up at the podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
He's like, I'm just here to reunite.
So you want
to
do a last story?
We take pain here and we try and make it better.
Comedy equals tragedy plus time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Do you want to get so famous that your dad is, I mean, do you know where, do you know who he is or no?
No. That's the funniest thing ever. Who leaves a kid? This guy.
I left
and
that.
And the other part about it is like, he left because he didn't necessarily think that there was anything to gain out of being around with it. Look at what you turned out to be, and look at how much great he could have gotten out of that life down the line had he hung in there and stayed with it.
So funny. My older brother, his dad came back into his life like a little bit like later on, maybe like he was like, it was like 23 or some shit, some old black guy like knocks on my grandma's door and shit. And so we got his phone number, like we were fucking around or whatever. We got his phone number and we were pretending to be my older brother. We were just talking to his dad. We were like, why'd you choose to come back now?
Mess with him.
Like, that's how he talked and shit. He was like, all right, man. Like, I don't know.
That's amazing. You prank called his biological dad.
I'm going to ask this guy all the questions that I don't have.
What would I ask?
You basically have an opportunity to do this.
You turn it into a company. It's called Dial a Dad. I got this guy's number. So everybody who doesn't have a dad, we just call him. You ask him the questions.
It'll make you feel better, and then they'll just feel
weird.
That's
so funny.
Wait, so is he still in his life or no?
No,
he's out.
No, he did two weeks.
And then back out.
Yeah, he was in there for like 2 weeks and left.
Too much. Like the Army Reserve. So yeah, 2 weeks now.
If my son was grown, I wouldn't. And I left him and shit, I wouldn't come back.
You don't have kids, do you?
No.
Are you going to have kids in your life or no?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well,
you never leave a kid.
No, I don't think I would leave a kid. No. I would never leave a kid.
You would never.
I couldn't do it.
You wouldn't because you know the other end.
Did it make you who you are today? Obviously, you talk about your experiences on stage. You are very open about like everything that has happened to you. To me, I think it is like fascinating and honest, and it's just amazing.
I was telling my sister the other day. I was like, man, I just wish. Because this is some real shit. Maybe like 3 weeks ago, I was in a car, like by myself in the gym parking lot, and I was just crying because I didn't have a dad. Mm-hmm. Like, but that finally just hit me
at that.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I just need a dad or somebody. And I was thinking about the roast battle, and I was like, I just need somebody to just call me and tell me like, hey, why are you wearing that skirt on TV, whatever. But I don't have that, so. You know, but the other end, you know, it's a freedom. You know, there's a cool like freedom, like
yeah,
like,
oh. No one's judging.
My mama
you.
Thinks it's funny, yeah, because she's a woman. She thinks skirts are funny.
She thinks it's funny. You were really funny in the skirt. I mean, I'll tell you that
skirt worked.
And but just yeah. Were you crying and saying, "I can't believe I'm crying on back and lats day, like lats and buys day." I'm crying on this day. I did such a good workout. No, but that is...
You were great in the skirt and just with the blonde wig, just periodically fixing
that. I think
that
shit is funny.
Think it is.
Still funny.
So
like,
funny.
I think Chappelle brought it to like the forefront, like, man, you know, black people wearing skirts and all this stuff, and, you know, and dressing and shit. But I'm like, and I think that shit's funny.
I think it's funny,
amongst
too.
Other things, normal yes. shit too, but...
Yes.
All goals.
By the way, if it's funny to you, do it.
Yeah, it's
that's
always
it.
I mean, that is, yes, we at this point have earned the right to keep doing things that are funny to us.
Speaking of,
here we go. Sent in by Eric D. Keith at Eric D. Keith 2, which makes me think Eric D. Keith 1 was taken. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. Straight Eric D.
Number 2.
Remember earlier you said, Jamar, you said if that snake could crawl down in her mouth, keep that idea in the pocket for this story.
Oh, shit.
A 42-year-old Indian woman was in deep slumber.
It was deep.
Deep.
It was so deep it put her butt to sleep.
Deep slumber last Tuesday night.
Slumber.
Until she awoke around midnight to a, quote, tingling and crawling sensation in her right nostril.
Fuck.
It woke her up.
Oh.
Not something going in.
So it was going on for a while,
and
then it suddenly was enough to wake her up.
At first, the woman, named Selvi, brushed the feeling off. Just a little...
Yeah.
Assuming she might be catching a cold.
She'd also done a lot of cocaine earlier.
Earlier that night. Reported. But she soon felt something move.
Oh, God.
Inside
her
head.
Oh,
nice.
She spent the rest of the night in discomfort waiting for the sun to rise so she could go to the hospital.
By the way,
I don't know what life's like in India, but if you can, go now.
Go when it happens.
You're not allowed to go to a hospital when it's dark out in India.
Quote, I could not explain the feeling, but I was sure it was some insect, she told the Indian Express. Whenever it moved, it gave me a burning sensation in my eyes.
Oh, my God. This is my nightmare.
Burning sensation in her eyes, and she's like, hold up. I still got to do this interview with the India Express.
Well, go ahead.
Do we get
you're
to
in
guess
a loss.
What the animal is? I got a story.
Let's hear it.
Oh, please.
So, one day, me and my older brother, we used to both live in my grandmother's house, and saw a roach crawling on this nigga's face, and then I saw it go in his ear.
No.
Oh
no!
And then I saw it come back out.
No!
And then after that, he woke up, and then he punched me.
He punched you because he thought it was you tickling him.
I was like, "What did that roach tell him?"
Some secrets and shit.
Are you ready to guess?
Yes.
What crawled inside of her head? Randy Sklar.
Is India.
Like a millipede.
Okay, a millipede.
Or a centipede.
To my neighbors.
A
a great idea.
A roach.
A great idea.
You said a great idea.
Okay, a cockroach.
Spider.
A spider. She spends the rest of the night in comfort. That sun comes up. Mm-hmm. She goes to the hospital.
Burning.
She said it burned in my eyes.
In my eyes.
As dawn arrived, her son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
Yeah, in tow. She made him come too.
God.
That in tow means she drove?
Yeah.
She just wanted him there?
By the way.
He's in the backseat on an iPad just playing?
No, her son-in-law. Son-in-law. Right. So married to her daughter.
Right.
So her daughter wouldn't even come. Look, he had better have sex the rest any time he wants for the rest of that marriage if he's coming along on this one.
Right.
Daughter wouldn't even come.
She goes to the hospital. They visit a clinic closest to her home in the South Indian state of Tamil Nadu. She was soon referred to a second hospital.
Oh, God.
Geez. Where doctors suspected she might be suffering from a nasal growth. So it might not be nothing.
Mm-hmm. A nasal growth?
At what? A third hospital. You guys. Third hospital.
Mm-mm.
Doctors recommended a scan and told her the discomfort may be coming from, quote, a foreign body that seemed to be mobile inside her head.
Jesus. A foreign body?
Finally,
that is a nice way of saying a roach went up your nose.
Finally, in her fourth doctor visit at Stanley Medical College Hospital, doctors used an endoscope to find the culprit, a blob with a pair of antennae.
Oh my God.
A full-grown cockroach.
Oh! Tell her.
Told her all sorts of shit about Jamar. Told what Jamar did do.
M.N. Shankar. Capital N, capital N. Shankar. The head of the ear, nose, and throat department told the Times of India, quote, it was alive and it didn't seem to want to come out. The insect was sitting in the skull base between the eyes and close to the brain.
Jesus.
That is insane.
Terrifying.
Yes.
Why does this not happen more often?
And now I'm going to sleep like this.
Like, how do you...
Guys, how could you even... Doctors tried to use a suction device to remove the cockroach, but the insect clung to the tissues. After a 45-minute process using suction and forceps, doctors were able to extract the bug still alive.
How big was it? What does it look like? Does it have a picture?
There's a sort of picture on, like, a video that you play, so you can sort of see it here. And I should also let everybody know, if you follow at DPT Podcast, the media and images and things that we talk about here will always be up there.
Yeah.
So we tweet out original tweets, let everybody know it's here.
Follow at DPT Podcast. Yeah, by the way, follow at Jamar Neighbors on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Jamar Neighbors.
At Jamar Neighbors.
Okay.
That thing is insane.
Yes.
That thing could have laid
sitting in the skull
because of the critter's location.
Could have laid eggs. I like what he's thinking.
Doctors had to first drag it to a place which could be extracted. It had been lodged inside her head for 12 hours.
Jesus.
Doctors placed the insect in a container, its wings spread and its legs moved rapidly. Quote, if left inside, it would have died long before the patient would have developed, it would have died before long and the patient would have developed an infection, which would have spread to the brain.
What if this is the beginning of like the Indian spider woman?
I don't know.
What I mean? Like, this is it's like an origin story where she's like,
yeah.
Cockroach.
Shankar said this was the, quote, first such case he had seen in his 3 decades of practice. They have removed other things from people's head in the past, such as leeches, houseflies, maggots. Ugh. But not a cockroach, especially not one this large.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Woo!
This is by no means the first time, and then it talks about some other times it happened. They said that sometimes doctors are called upon to remove people from their ears, but never so much at the base
Jamar's
of the brain.
Brother.
The graduate student's medical report added in the following advice, consider sleeping with a hat on.
A hat? Over your nose?
How would that do? Indiana Jones style, you know, like where you just drop it on over your face.
You ever see a SpongeBob?
Oh, for sure.
That Krillin thing that little krill that gets inside that big ass machine. And what if that happened to her? That'd be tight.
And the cockroach starts operating her brain and
making
her do stuff.
Yeah, that's the type
of
shit.
It'd be like Rat Tattooey, but yeah, exactly. Roach Tattooey.
Roach Tattooey.
Telling her what to do.
She's like suddenly making great.
She's like a great chef all of a sudden.
She's like an unbelievable Indian chef.
Hey, it happens. Oh my God, man. That's terrifying. There's a story to make you think twice about what happens to you when you sleep.
India has the worst things that happen to them. Like, there isn't there like a, like you go into a lake and then there's like these little things that jump up in your penis?
Oh, yeah. Jay, wasn't that in...
They swim into your urethra.
No, South America, yeah.
South America.
When you pee. So if you were to pee into the water, it comes, swims up
through the stream of your pee into your penis.
Is that gay? No, thank you.
Is that gay?
I don't think, I mean, maybe if so. It's if you're the same gender and you like it.
Yeah, okay. If you like it.
Speaking of crazy shit, I don't know if you heard about this, but Harrison Ford recently got in a ton of trouble.
Well, he was in a plane accident a few years ago on a golf course. On a Penmar golf course.
On Penmar golf course, which is out west.
Harrison Ford would be in a plane crash.
Like, he's flying the plane.
And survive.
But, like, own pilot. Like, he definitely thinks he can fly stuff of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, because of Han Solo. Because
he's like, I can fly anything. Well, he apparently recently just landed a plane in the taxiway of John Wayne Airport. And it upset a ton of people because there were planes just taxiing around. Yeah. Like, he didn't go on a runway. He went in the taxi area.
Right.
Yeah, that's like...
Like, where they pick up normal people.
Where, like, the luggage cart is. By the jetways and people driving around. So that's where he landed it, and he got in deep trouble. And thankfully, we have a pathway to Harrison Ford, and he
left us a
voicemail, and that he basically is explaining what happened. So let's take a listen.
Hey, Scholar Brothers, it's me, Harrison Ford, star of such movies as Indiana Jones, Star Wars, and Frantic, Roman Polanski film, and Presumed Innocent. I think you know that most people should be presumed innocent, so if I want to land my plane over another plane trying to take off, guess what? I should be allowed to do that. I was on Solo. I used to fly the Millennium Falcon all over the place all the time, wherever I wanted. I would just turn to my little furry friend on the right and just say, hey, Chewie, let's fly this plane on top of that worm. That's what I did. And Empire Strikes Back, I took the Millennium Falcon, I flew it right into the mouth of a worm. So I can do that. I can take my private plane, and I can fly it, and I can land it wherever I want, and I can fly it over your plane whenever and whoever the fuck I want. So, maybe you should think twice, America, before you let a 74-year-old man with an earring who played such beloved characters as Han Solo and Indiana Jones and the guy who took a fucking 40-foot leap off the Hoover Dam in the movie The Fugitive, before you decide to tell that man he can't land his plane wherever the fuck he wants. I don't know what kind of America we live in where a 74-year-old man with an earring can land his plane wherever the fuck he wants, but I guess that must be Trump's America. So maybe you should call your member of Congress and ask that they allow that all elderly people should be able to land their planes wherever they want. I don't know. It's not my job. My job is just to take my private plane and land it wherever the hell I should be able to land it. So maybe you should call your member of Congress. Get Kamala Harris on the phone, or Dianne Feinstein. You should ask them. Just say, hey, I feel like the same man who did the Parsec run and the Kessel run in 12, I don't know, some fucking nerd can answer that question for you, who did that run in 12 parsecs. He should be able to land his plane wherever the hell he wants. Maybe you should tell them that, and maybe I'll get back to taking my plane and landing it on wherever the hell I feel like I should be able to land my plane. And so which one of you Scholar brothers would like to get on my plane and dress up like Chewie and go land it on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro? So why don't you guys think about that and then get back to me? All right, Beth.
Okay.
Jesus.
I mean, maybe he wants to go out in a glorious way.
Do you think he wants to go out and like
get old and fade?
It's all privilege, man.
It is privilege.
Isn't it all privilege? It's all
privilege. He's no Travolta. Travolta's flying 747s.
Yeah, Travolta's like actually doing like cargo drops.
Do you think Harrison Ford's just trying to get away from Calista Flockhart? Like he's like, maybe. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I'll land this thing.
I'll land it on the freeway.
Is that who he's dating? She was Felicity.
Yeah.
Who was she?
She was
Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
Years.
By the way, Ally McBeal sounds like the name you would call somebody, like a typical white girl acting like a white girl. Like, you know, like Johnny McSomething McSomething. Like, oh, look who's here. Ally McBeal.
Ally McBeal.
Ally McBeal up in this place right here.
It's like a Snickers commercial. You're being a real Lisa Bunker right now.
You know what? You're being a real Ally McBeal. Eat a Snickers. Eat it.
All right, there you go. That's a show.
Lisa Bunker. Shout out to Lisa Bunker.
Shout out to Lisa Bunker. And the Lisa Bunkers of this world just practicing their sword play without the swords. Mm-mm. Keep doing it, y'all.
Watch the roast battle on Comedy Central's website. If you haven't seen it, you'll see Jamar be hilarious.
If you see Keanu, you see Jamar smoking a blunt.
Stitches.
Being in the back, sitting in the back of a van or what was it?
And listen, you guys, come on. What a fitting tribute to George Michael. The man passed away after this whole thing, but like,
Made me even more famous.
A fan of his or famous. Or a fan. No, well, not really a fan. No, but Jamar Neighbors.
George Michael's the shit.
Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course, Daniel Van Kirk. Follow at Daniel Van Kirk. Follow DPT Podcast. And please, thank you to everyone who has reviewed and rated this thing and subscribed to it. Just the more you guys review it, the more you rate it, the better that is for us. It keeps it up in like the top. And we really appreciate that. And we'll see you guys next week. Dum, dum, dum.